flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Oh, yeah. On your home for the best Ravens coverage, it's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney. 1057 The Fan.
Yeah, I mean, I see the same player. I mean, obviously, teams are starting to pay a little bit more attention to him. So we're trying to find different ways to move him around, keep the offense off balance, single him up. But he's not discouraged. I told him, keep playing how you playing, keep studying how you're studying, and the numbers are going to come. So, it's just like somebody who's going on a streak or whatever, like shooting, like a great three-point shooter. Okay, you know you're a great shooter, right? You're shooting. You might not be getting all those opportunities to make shots, but you know when it all hits, you know you go on a streak. So,
I feel you on that one, Zach Ward. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Zach Ward, defensive coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens, talking about Nnamdi Matabike, who I guess got off to a relatively slow start. Anyway, based on sack totals last year versus this year, where he was great and was an all-pro and, you know, got himself a big contract. But even though, Vinny, the sack totals were down 6.5 during the regular season, he was still a disruptor this year. But as Zach Ward said, you know, expectation a little higher and teams adjusted. Now we have to adjust.
Yeah, I mean, when you do what you did with the 13 sacks and 56 tackles, people are going to take notice. And then it's just like offensive coordinator, okay, you know, just like they do with Chris Jones with Kansas City. We got to double this guy. And he got a lot more attention. And like you said, he got 6.5 sacks. He had 43 tackles. So he was down 13 tackles from last year and down 6.5 sacks from last year. Do I think that he was impactful? I think he was. I mean, I thought that he had a lot of, you know, maybe it was similar to the year before where he had a lot of close encounters with the quarterback where, you know, last year everything fell perfectly, you know, with the sacks, getting so many sacks. And this year, not as much. And like you said, the defense started out poorly. I mean, you know, people were throwing the heck out of it on him because they could and it was easy. And you know, with the ball was coming out quick. So I think he got better as the season. I thought he was pretty dominant as the season went. When they started after that bye and stuff, I thought he was pretty dominant on the inside. I thought, you know, against Buffalo and those. And he played a lot more nasty this year. I didn't think he had a bad year. Statistically, it wasn't as good as last year. But I thought he played well. I mean, you know, like if you said you could have the same thing next year, I take it. Take it in a heartbeat.
And he's good against run.
He's very good against the run because he can find the football. He can. That's the biggest thing is finding the ball, and he can get off blocks. You know, so he's a complete player. That's gotten a lot better, and his pass rush moves, thank you, Chuck Smith, have really improved. I mean, because he said, what's he do in the offseason? He goes to Atlanta, and he trains all offseason, and he's worked with Chuck Smith usually in the off seasons, you know, prior to Chuck coming here. So, yeah, I mean, he's a worker. He's going to get better. He's going to get better. You know, it's not like, oh, he got paid and then, you know, he went to crap. No, he still played well. He still played well. And that defense, what, the last eight games, they were like the best defense in the league. So I got no problem with Matabike.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7, the Fan News from the Nest. We're handing out pass or fail grades for the defense. We did the offense yesterday. How about Travis Jones out of UConn as his career ascends a couple of years in now?
Yeah, I like Travis Jones. I just would like him to stay healthy all the time because he's a talent and he gets better all the time. I think the kid really improves. And I think the biggest reason is, you know, because he gets his body in shape. And I think he's changed his body where, you know, he's not soft. And you can see his quickness. The thing about it is he can play the run and he's got pass rush. Buffalo, I think, both Buffalo games, he was wearing those guys out. So he's a force on the inside. And he's big. And he plays the run well. Can find the football. He can shed, get off blocks. He'll chase. I think he's a guy that he's going to get paid too, if not by somebody else, because he's a run stopper. He had 42 tackles, and Matabike had 43. And I think Matabike plays a lot more than him. I mean, one thing we forgot to mention about Matabike, they use Matabike also at end to rush the passer and use him to stunt and twist a lot. But Travis Jones, 42 tackles and had four tackles for loss. I like the kid. I think he gets better every year. And I think he's been impactful some in the past, getting pressure up the middle. I think with those two in there, you got a pretty nice comp. You got a very good combination.
Broderick Washington, I think we'll agree, 2023, kind of an average year for him. How much did he level up, if at all, here in 2024?
He showed up. That's the Broderick. He had 21 tackles. He had two sacks. But, I mean, last year, you didn't even notice 96. Didn't even know, like, where is he? And this year, you could tell. And another guy. And there's a reason why you're number one in run defense. Because they all play, those guys play the run well. They can get off blocks, and he can find a football, and they all chase. That's the biggest thing. So, yeah, I mean, I like that group. The one, yeah, and then we'll go through them all. But, I mean, sure. Broderick Washington, those three guys in that rotation, that's a good group right there.
And Michael Pierce is no slouch. What we'll talk about later in the hour and when we get to NFL lunch. If you want to get in, you can at 410-583-1057. We'll come back, count some dough, hopefully, late week style on this Total Request Thursday with Buy or Sell. Talk about sports subjects. And the Wizard, Walt Williams, will talk about Maryland. Win last night, our ranked team. The Quad Ones are starting to stack. Terps are 17-5, 7-4 in the Big Ten. They get a break. What are we improving during this week?
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Be cool.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Total request Thursday. Pick a song, we'll play it. Get your votes in. Featured artist Friday. It all goes to the Plaza Support tax line at 410-583-1057. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. Tons going on. World of sports next week. How about that Super Bowl breakdown, as it'll be media row week and all that crazy stuff down in New Orleans. Before we get into that, let's count some cash, hopefully buy or sell.
Well, the Dow's up 118. The S&P's up 11. NASDAQ's down 23. DraftKings up 95 cents. And Under Armour's up 24 cents, 765.
What were the best and worst contracts in the NFL this past season? Longtime agent Joel Corey has listed a few, really some awards here, and as he sees it. No surprise, Saquon Barkley considered the best deal to pay immediate dividends. The opposite end, Kirk Cousins, the least valuable in the short term. Best and worst use of a contract year, Sam Darnold considered the best. He boosted his stock. Worst use, Deontay Johnson. That can't argue with that. But here's an interesting one. Biggest steal, or best value, if you will, he says Russell Wilson with the Steelers. League minimum for 1 year, doesn't get much cheaper than that. And even with some missed time at the beginning of the season, he did hold down the starter role and get them to the playoffs. Vinny, are you buying or selling that Wilson was the biggest steal of this past season?
Yeah, for minimum. He was still making a lot of money, but Denver was paying it. But for what Pittsburgh had to pay? I probably so, just because, like, I was thinking like a Baker Mayfield, but he's making 30 mil, you know, and he had a hell of a year. So yeah, I guess I could go along with that just because it was the minimum salary.
He did make the Pro Bowl too.
Oh yeah.
I forget that.
Tyler Huntley.
All right. Well, all eyes in the baseball world will be on Dodgers' new pitcher, Roky Sasaki, this season. Will his game translate to the United States? Fellow teammate Yoshinobu Yamamoto went through this last year. Took him a while to get ramped up. Ultimately, never surpassed 100 innings pitched in his technically rookie season. Which brings me to this point. What defines a rookie? Should international players who have a track record in other leagues be considered rookies when they come to Major League Baseball? It's a notable question because right now, Roky Sasaki is the betting favorite to win National League Rookie of the Year. Buy or sell, Bob, Major League Baseball should amend its rookie status rules with the game becoming more and more international.
I'm going to sell that because it's still Major League Baseball. And with all due respect to what goes on elsewhere in the world of the rawhide, it's still different level stuff. So if you come over here and you succeed, even though you have high rep, hey, I hope Sagano wins the Cy Young Award for the Orioles, to be totally honest with you. But no, I'm selling that. Hey, Ichiro came over, and he won Rookie of the Year MVP in the same season. How about that? So what do you think?
I mean, it ultimately really doesn't matter.
Yeah, right.
I think it's just interesting, though, because of the point there. I mean, the game is becoming more international. Every year you've got a crop of, you know, five or so guys that are either coming from Japan or not so recent. I think about Jose Abreu coming from Cuba. I mean, he had like 10 years played in Cuba before he got here. So, I don't know. Something to consider.
Okay.
Let me ask you one. You guys, one, buy or sell. What do you think about Adam Silver saying that the NBA should go from 12 minutes a quarter to 10?
Sell.
Yeah, I don't know. What's his end game there?
Because he wants it condensed into the TV time.
Yes.
Because he thinks as the game's drone on, that TV interest, because their ratings are down like big time this year.
They are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that he thinks that'll generate interest. How about this? How about the words load management never get mentioned again? And if Johnny saved for a ticket, goes to the game, and the favorite star that he saved, because the schedule comes out, you circle that date, you buy the ticket, the dude or players that you wanted to see tap out, you're disappointed. And the game could be 5 minutes long or 5 hours long. You're still not there to see what you wanted to see.
Is LeBron playing tonight?
Oh, yes. And with Anthony Davis out, I'm guessing a triple-double's probably in his future against the old Wizards there.
We'll go back to the NFL here. The Browns continue to head in the wrong direction. So the idea of trading Myles Garrett, That's been a growing sentiment for fans and the media, but Cleveland general manager Andrew Berry was very emphatic when he said the team will not trade Garrett no matter what anyone is offering them. Asked to clarify with a follow-up question, a reporter said, hey, even if someone offers you two first-round picks, Berry says, yes, go ahead and put that on record. Garrett does have 2 years left on his current deal, continues to be one of the top guys at his position at age 30. Vinny, buy or sell, Berry might not want to do it, but Garrett will eventually ask for a trade and force his hand.
I'll definitely buy that. I mean, with two number ones and his contract's up in 2 years and you suck anyhow and you need a quarterback, so you could get a quarterback and two more guys. You could probably even get more than two number ones, I would imagine.
And sentimental value aside, it would be almost malpractice to not take that trade for two, for like you just said, Vinny. I mean,
you'd get more than two ones.
Yeah, and this is he's a longtime Brown. He's a fan favorite. You know, you understand that, but
the fans that
Wait, what's trade him going to cost them the division?
Right.
What do they have now? The third pick, as it is.
Yeah.
Stack them, man.
Mm-hmm. We'll go over to baseball again. The Yankees coming off a trip to the World Series, looking to get back there again with some big additions in the offseason. But Aaron Boone, him at the top, it's a different story. 2025, the final year on his contract, and it would be odd to have him go into a lame duck situation after the season they just had. Hal Steinbrenner insists that they will sit down and work something out here soon, but I'm asking, what's taken this long? I mean, spring training is almost here. Season ended months and months and months ago. Buy or sell, Bob, Boone's job not as secure as we may think.
So he's going into the last year of his deal, is that what you said?
Correct.
Not as secure. I'll buy that. I mean, he's not as impulsive and impetuous as George was. But, you know, they start slow. Say they're in, you know, late June and the Orioles and Red Sox, hypothetically, are ahead and they're like 15 games back, which won't happen. But, yeah, he could be in some peril there. So, yeah, I'll buy that. It is in the DNA, but he's been real stable with Boone because George Steinbrenner would have fired him years ago.
And brought him back.
Multiple times. Yogi Berra and Billy Martin right along with him.
Our last story of the day, Mike Florio and Bill Belichick exchanging some jabs this week following Mike's constant digging into Belichick's contract with UNC. It really became humorous at a certain point. There were rumors, if you want to call it that, mostly coming from Florio. Because of the structure of Belichick's buyout, the fact that he didn't actually put pen to paper on the real contract until a week or so ago, they were just operating on the term sheet or a rough outline this entire time. The thought was that Belichick would try to leap back to the NFL if the right opportunity was there. Of course, the coach denied this in an appearance on the Pat McAfee show. But Vinny, buy or sell, if Bill Belichick is back in the NFL this time next year, it should surprise no one.
I'm going to sell it. I don't think people are interested in him. You know, I think he was just reading. Sounds like he was the one trying to drum up the interest. He's the one that called Tom Brady, you know, to help him drum up interest. So I don't, you know, and you look at his last 4 years in New England, they weren't good. So, and who wants him to come in? And especially when you got most of these GMs nowadays, they're younger guys. They don't want Belichick coming in because then they're out.
I guess the only interesting thing here with this past cycle is that Brady gave him, there was a conversation there, but it seems to be more of a courtesy thing that he never actually had plans to want to hire him.
I mean, if you read if you can believe what you read, Brady had zero desire. Well, and I'm guessing Brady's the type of guy that holds grudges. And when Belichick says, you know, you're done here, you know, and then he goes and wins the Super Bowl, I'm sure Brady's, you know, like, F you, buddy.
Yeah, and they made, what, one playoff appearance post-Brady, and I got housed by
believe it was Buffalo a couple years ago. It's Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan. When we come back, talk to Maryland Hoops with a wizard, one of the great players in the history of the program, Walt Williams. Terps beat Wisconsin last night. We'll get to your phone calls at 410-583-1057. Get your votes in for Featured Artist Friday. That reveal coming up, about an hour and 15 minutes or so. And we'll get back to the Ravens' defensive grades. We did three on the D-line. We'll get to Michael Pierce. We'll get to the linebackers. And we'll get to the secondary. So far, so good, ELE, but things will get harsh later in the show. Maryland beats Wisconsin, getting themselves another win, four in a row, another quad winner at that, 76-68. Here to talk about it, because he was there. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. He's a Maryland legend, and he's our buddy. He's the wizard, Walt Williams. Walt, what is up?
How you doing, my man? Hey, Rob, I got to tell you, that is a sweet theme song you come into, man. Get down on it. I love that, man.
A little Cool in the Gang from 1982, if I'm not mistaken. So, Walt, you're going to get down on this Terrapin talk. It ebbs and flows, certainly, of the game throughout the 40 minutes. And, you know, Wisconsin's good. Their road record's not great, but they're not a bad team at all. As you watch the first half, for instance, unfold, what were they doing to, you know, Gillespie's shot was off, Queen was seemed a little discombobulated. What was Wisconsin doing to throw Maryland off their game just a little bit?
Well, I tell you what, they've been very physical. That's a big team. They have 2 7-footers down low. Their wing players are about all 6'4", 6'5". Strong, tough guys. So the Terps have been facing that lately in their last meetings when you're talking about Nebraska, Illinois, Indiana, and now Wisconsin. All of them have big guards and big interior players. So it's about you don't have that advantage, that size advantage as much when you're playing in that Big Ten season. So it was a little bit tougher. They were being physical with Dirk, so he had to get used to that a little bit, big 7-footers and how to maneuver around that when you're not as you're not the bigger person out there, being able to maneuver that. And he figured it out in that second half. Gillespie, you know, it just at times the guy was missing, but he had open shots, whether it was the ball moving around to him and found him open, or him creating his open shot on his own with you know, his step backs and crossovers and things like that. So, you know, sometimes it's going to fall, sometimes it won't.
Now, Walt, getting back to your point there about the points in the paint against Indiana, Illinois, a couple of games ago, they got 62 in the paint against them and only 20 last night. What does this say about the versatility of Maryland's team here in 25 offensively, where, hey, sometimes you're the team banging away like the 2016 Warriors from deep, or you're the 1990 Pistons just beating you to death inside the paint?
I think that makes this Terps team a dangerous team. They find multiple ways to win. You know, they can play up-tempo. They can play half-court. They can play from the perimeter, play inside. So they have multiple guys who can hurt you from the outside, and then they got two dominant guys on the interior. They got guys like Kabari coming off the bench that can give you that energy at times. Deshaun Harris-Smith, he was fantastic last night in giving the team a spark that they needed, hitting a big three, but also just his defensive prowess out there. So they have guys who can contribute, multiple guys who can contribute. So they have a lot of depth, and it's not just in one not just on the perimeter, but the interior as well.
The Wizard Walt Williams joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, talking about the Terps win last night, 76-68 over number 17 Wisconsin. We were talking, Walt, earlier in the show with Cordell Woodland about Julian Reese. I mean, he's a senior, a natural senior, 4 years in. He's bulked up for sure. I mean, he finishes around the hoop now, but the free throw shooting, watching him now at the line compared to last year as a great free throw shooter yourself back in your days, of course, in the NBA and at Maryland. What are you noticing about his form? Why is it's not Rick Barry, but 73% compared to 50, kind of Rick Barry like for sure?
Man, that free throw shot he had last year looked crazy. You know, it was like some hesitation nonsense going on in there, and it just didn't look smooth at all. So I think it's a testament to Julian's work ethic. It's just hard to change your shot in a couple of months and have that just be a natural thing. And so you can see he has a smooth stroke now. It's way different than it was last season. So you could tell he worked hard on that and focused on that specifically, as well as probably other parts of his game. He's playing so much more tougher. I mean, he was a beast down there. And once again, like I said, against 2 7-footers, you know, just manhandling him around the basket in that paint area offensively. And then you talk about a kid like Derrick Queen. He wasn't great from the field, but he just controlled paint on the defensive end. So those two guys worked hand in hand and was able to dominate the interior. You know, Wisconsin, their bigs combined for 11 rebounds. So they really controlled them in the paint.
Well, why are the minutes for Jordan Geronimo kind of non-existent? He comes in, adds sparks in one game, then he doesn't even play. Why inconsistent minutes for him?
I think it depends on how the flow of the game is going. If you have guys out there, bigs out there that are not bringing the energy that they normally would have, I think that's when you'll see Geronimo. He's a guy that always brings that energy. He's always on 100 out there. And so you don't ever worry about that. It's just that the other guys can impact the game. And, you know, like when you talk about Gapari, Derrick Queen, Reese, those guys can impact the game in more ways than Geronimo. So they're going to get the nod ahead of him. And if they're playing well, they're playing with the energy level that they need to play with, you're probably not going to see Geronimo.
Hey, Walt, let me just say this. You know, like, I have to sit in my car, like, at nights to listen to my daughter, because my daughter's at soccer, so I got a chance to listen to you. I love listening to you on the radio, because you say, you know, like, you just hanging out with some dudes, and you say what you see and what you feel. And the one time it had me laughing when Naki goes to you, he said, "Is that even a word?" And then Johnny goes, "That's why they call him the wizard."
Making things up, yeah.
I think it's great. You know, life. And I was telling Bob right from the get-go, Walt, you're like, damn, what is he? He needs to put more pressure on him there. You know, and I think it's awesome. Because then I got home like with 12 minutes to go and put the TV on. And they're like, damn, these guys are boring, man. I need to listen to the radio. On 105.7.
Yeah, correct. That's the approach we take with it. You know, we watching it. We guys that's hanging out and watching the game and just calling it how we see it. You know, and so I definitely call it from my perspective. And you know, it is a perspective of you know, we're just hanging out. If we were in a more relaxed setting, it would be the same way for me. So we have a lot of fun with it for sure.
Just hitting that dump button a lot more than you do on 105.7 The Fan, for sure. All right, Walt, real quick, you know, we're coming up on Friday, Super Bowl weekend in a little more than a week, but there's always time to celebrate. Now, if I'm looking for a nice old screwdriver, what kind of vodka, man, add him to my Minute Maid orange juice there?
Oh, man, you want the smoothest tasting vodka on the market, which is Clutch Vodka. You know, it's premium, affordable pricing, gluten-free, no sugar, no carbs. It's organically filtered, and the biggest thing is we give a portion of the sales to One Maryland Collective, the NIL program at the University of Maryland. We thought it would be a great idea to have the support of the community and have them be a part of directly impacting the caliber of student athletes that the University of Maryland recruits now and in the future. So check us out at www.clutchspirits.com to find out the locations near you, okay?
Walt, appreciate it as always. Yes or no, real quick, were you the anonymous donor, 10 mil?
Absolutely not. I wish I had 10 mil to give away, buddy.
It'd be coming over here. Screw Maryland.
Hey, Walt, I used to sing that song when I was in college, your favorite song there.
Get down on it. He's the wizard, Walt Williams. Walt, enjoy the rest of your week. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
Can't wait, brother.
You got it. Walt Williams, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Come back, take your phone calls at 410-583-1057. NFL lunch. We get back to the Ravens defensive breakdown. Pick up at the D-line. Get to linebackers, obviously. The secondary coming up at 1:30 for Pro Football Talk. Miles Simmons will be talking about Super Bowl 59er. NFL lunch coming up top of the hour. Going to get into the Ravens defense. Going to break them down for the next couple of segments. You want to get in and talk about Maryland's win last night or spring training coming up and all that fun stuff. Orioles 89.5 is the win total over under. We'll see how that all unfolds. And anything else you want to discuss, but let's go to Towson bringing PT. PT, thanks for holding. How you feeling?
Hey, guys. All good. Hey, let me rant real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
Thanks. First of all, the NBA load management is a joke, obviously. I think another easy fix is foul shooters should be given 5 seconds and not 10. I mean, we all watch, you know, the Greek Freak take 10 seconds, and he's never shot worse free throw percentage in his career.
It's under 60%. It's not even like a game. It's like it's like going to watch a game at the park where everybody's shooting 43s a game. It's
boy, and then how about they want two free throw shots for a 3-pointer? That's yeah. the other
instead
one.
Of getting three.
Yeah. To speed things up.
But load management, isn't that what Tony Soprano did? And the Sopranos, what are you into? Load management.
Waste management.
Oh, that's what it is. Sorry, man.
Also, and I know you're going to agree with me here on this one, Bob. Okay. Len Bias, greatest, most beautiful free throw shooter in the history of the sport. But
his mid-range game was awesome. Yeah. Obviously, would have evolved to a great three-point shooter, yes. But Len Bias was, hey, look, what do you say? He's a stud.
Unbelievable. Could have been, you know, who knows, what a top 10 all dude. We'll never know. But Vinny, spot on with Travis Jones, kid 25. And people, and I don't want to bring up a bad topic here, but 6'4", 340, he's 25. And I thought that Albert Haynesworth in 2007-08 was worthy of MVP votes. Mm-hmm. And he has the same kind of quick feet. And, of course, with Haynesworth, he just had no character. But you don't find those kind of things out until you get paid. I mean, I guess, Vinny, you could write a short book on Albert Haynesworth, huh?
Yeah, well, the thing, the difference, and I don't know Travis Jones, but the thing with Travis Jones, you know, UConn, and they sucked, you know, so and I think, like, the coach got fired during the year.
It was Edsel, wasn't it?
Yeah, and then you know, so he wasn't getting coaching either. So he's going to keep getting better. Albert was at Tennessee. Albert didn't love football. Albert loved what came with football. That's what Albert loved.
Totally, yeah. He played that his last season going for the contract in Tennessee. Yep. He literally was the best player in football. Like, better than the quarterbacks, he was the best player in football. But
kind of like Jalen Carter for Philly.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, just people that big should not be that quick, but right. Haynesworth was. And yep. Travis Jones has 6 feet. And
yes, he
yeah,
does.
I just hope he's the Ravens. But we talked about this months ago, and it was like, well, where's the bar for the Ravens season? And we all agreed. It's like, man, if it's a tough loss, it's a tough loss. You can't put it all on Harbaugh. And it's exactly what happened, man. It was 3 brutal turnovers, and they just had 2. You know, they win the darn game. And heck, if a couple passes are caught and people protect the ball.
Yeah.
But the thing, and it's a funny thing, because the Orioles and the Maryland basketball team are in the same boat. If Hyder doesn't win a playoff series, he's gone. And with Willard, I mean, he's got to get past the round of 32, don't you think, Bob?
With this team, absolutely. Because they're going to be the higher seed this time, not coming in as an 8 playing a 1 like they were a couple years ago against, Alabama, where they wound up right. getting trounced. If they go in as a 4 and they don't get to the regionals, oh, yeah, I don't think he's fired. PT, right. have you seen what's going on at Seton Hall this year? It kind of bottomed
right,
out yeah. a little bit. Yeah, so.
I hear you. My last thing, and this is a big beef. My freaking head spun around 3 times. And with all due respect, Bob, God knows. But you don't think Eflin and Rodriguez are number 2s? You're putting them as number 3 starters?
Well, Eflin has been that guy, and Rodriguez has that potential. But you see it in flashes and spurts, and he's got to hit the post for 30 starts a year. You know what I mean? And hey, look, hey, we're all optimistic about the Orioles, and even the odds makers are picking them 2nd in the East at this time. But I'm still skeptical, and we'll see. Eflin's in the walk year of a deal, which would make you think
he'll bring it to the equation. But if Grayson stays healthy, there's untapped potential there. And we'll just see if he can do that. And I'm not holding my breath for Wells and Bradish in the second half saving the day either, by the way.
Right, no, but like the young man, Seguro, if I'm saying the
Sagana.
Name correctly. Thank you, thank you. I mean, that's the thing. You don't know. He could be a number one, or he could just not work out in the major leagues. But it's an exciting potential, and I think they're doing it smart, just like Elias has always done. It's the money is better spent in the bullpen, and that's what they've done. And they've got five guys that would start for most teams. I completely agree we don't have a number one, but I guess they feel like that's the best way to build a team.
All right. Hey, thanks, PT. And I don't have the roster in front of me. Sorry about that. But if you look at the roster, I think there's a lot of expiring contracts with the pitching staff this year. A lot of one-year deals in the rotation and in the bullpen. NFL lunch coming up next. By the way, we didn't get into this. Bill Belichick was on McAfee yesterday. Now the head coach at North Carolina, as Nolan brought up. Renaming the Lombardi Trophy? That is sacrilege. We'll get into that at more. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Total request Thursday, last hour coming your way.